So, prayer is talking to God. This is the close of our 40 days of prayer series, and you know what the funny thing is? I've taught you absolutely nothing. Huh? I didn't give you a single verse that you probably haven't already read some point during your church experience. I haven't given you a single new concept that you didn't already know. I haven't given you any new information that makes your prayer life stronger. You know what this whole thing just did? It just gave you the opportunity to focus on the idea of prayer. I didn't teach you anything. Absolutely nothing. You know why? Because I don't have to teach you how to talk. Trust me, I know most of you. You already know how to talk. You already know how to express your opinions. You already know how to say when you're unhappy. You already know how to tell when you have problems in your life and what you need in your life. You have absolutely, positively no problem expressing those. You know how I know? Because I've heard them many myself. I mean, we have no problem when we're talking to each other, looking at each other, talking to each other, telling each other what's going on in my life. And, you know, we don't have that problem, but this concept of prayer just seems to baffle us when it's really no different. It's just talking. We've just changed our audience. The audience isn't the preacher or an elder or my neighbor or my friend, or my spouse, the audience becomes this person, this personality that we call God. And for some reason, when I change who I'm talking to, my tongue don't work so well anymore. I've got back problems. You know what my back problem is? I got this yellow streak that runs up the back of it, and I don't want to say anything. For some reason, this idea of talking to God is intimidating to us. And I guess maybe it should be, because after all, He is God. But He's also the God that loved me so much that He sent me Jesus to die for me. So if you think this has been some great sermon series, I'm glad you enjoyed it. By the way, if you think these are the best sermons that ever got preached here, remember, I didn't write these things. We purchased these, and I'm literally just going right by the notes that they sent me with a few berry wrinkles here and there just to make them ours. And so we've talked all we can talk about this idea of prayer. As a matter of fact, there's nothing else to say about it. Because the fact is, if you don't want to pray, I can't teach you to pray. Can't do it. If you have no interest in praying, there is no amount of sermons, no amount of lessons, no amount of anything that's going to encourage you to pray. Either it's part of your life or it's not. And if it's not, the only person that can make you make it part of your life is you, not me. So you're probably wondering, well, if there's nothing else to say, why are we at church today talking about prayer? Well, because today I'm not going to teach you how anything as far as concerning how to pray. I'm going to address a topic that many of us struggle with. Many times God promises to answer prayers in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you the great and unsearchable things you do not know." And the truth is, God always answers your prayer, but not always in the way that we want. Remember, we're not dealing with a genie. We're not dealing with a vending machine. He's not Santa Claus granting your Christmas wishes. The Bible is full of examples when God heard a prayer and He answered it, but the answer was no. Did you know that God said no to Abraham, Moses, David, Job, Jonah, Peter, Paul, and even Jesus? In the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, "Hey, can we find another way to do this whole save the world thing?" And the answer was no. You see, it's often confusing because if God is really a loving, all-powerful God, then why on earth would He deny our request? It's frustrating. It's irritating at times. After all, doesn't God know that I really needed that thing I prayed for? So today we're going to talk about what do we do when God says no. When God answers our prayer, but it's not yes, hear, have, or even wait. The answer is just no. And let's face it, like any good child, I have two of them, and they've been with me for a while. When you tell them no, what's the first question they ask? Why? And that's kind of us. God tells us no, and we want to know, why do some get miracles and others don't? Why do some sick people we pray for get well and others die? Why do some get relief from pain and others don't? I mean, why does God sometimes say yes and other times say no? And I look at that and, well, there are some obvious reasons God doesn't answer every prayer yes. It could be that some prayers conflict with other prayers and both cannot be done at the same time. Let me give you an example, one that all of us will relate with. In a few months, it will turn to winter, and we will have school days when they are calling for these white flakes to start falling. We call them snow. And you know what? Prayers start as soon as I say the word snow around here. All the kids are praying for snow because that means I get out of school. All the adults are praying, don't snow, because I don't want to have to get out there and shovel it. Okay, if you're not a teacher, you're praying for the snow. If you're a teacher, you're with the kids. You're out there doing the snow dance, okay? But if you are somebody else that has to still get up and go to work, you're thinking, God, I really can't have you making it snow because that impacts my life. So how does God do that? I mean, he can't answer the kids' prayers to make it snow and the adult prayers to not make it snow. Somebody's got to have the word no. What about people that pray for sports teams? I mean, if I'm praying for the Dallas Cowboys to win tonight and somebody else is praying for the New Orleans Saints, obviously God is going to listen to me, right? Maybe, maybe not. But you know what happens, right? They both can't win. I guess God could let every game end in a tie, but what fun would that be? Somebody's got to hear the word no. Sometimes the word no just happens. Sometimes prayers that we pray will require God to take away somebody's free will and choice to say the word yes. Think about the idea of a child that says whose parents are going through divorce and they pray to God, God, make them stay together. Can God make them stay together? Well, I guess technically he could. But if he did that, he would take away all of their free will in doing so to make them stay in a relationship that they don't want to be in. And so how can he really answer that prayer? Yes. What about a spouse that's praying for their other spouse? God make them stay. Well, you can't make somebody do that. Because you would take away their free will in the absence of having free will and choice. You know what else you would do? You take away their ability to love. And what good would that do anybody? You see, sometimes we think about the idea of prayer and we start asking for things and God's like, I really would like to give you a yes, but I can't give you a yes because you're asking me to take away their free will. Do you want me to take away your free will as well? Because I'm sure sometimes there's been some prayer requests that have been gone up to God. Hey, God, can you just make my child do this? God's like, I can't do that. They have choice. We have to let them grow. It's up to you to give them the guidelines and the stipulations and the rules and the regulations and put them on a path. But you know what? Ultimately, I can't make choices for you. You've got to make your own choices. You see, praying for somebody sick is also a place that we need to struggle with the word no. I mean, we're not designed to live forever, are we? At least not here on this planet. We're not designed to be here forever. As a matter of fact, it would be very cruel for God to leave us here forever, wouldn't he? Because my body's going to get older and I'm going to continue to break down. The doctors would get richer. But eventually, my body just wears out. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, just as we are destined to die once, and after that, face judgment. Death is just part of life. And while I can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray for God to please spare somebody, oftentimes, it's just their time. It's just the natural course of life. And so God can turn back the natural course of life, but sometimes those prayers are cruel and selfish. If I've got somebody out there that is suffering from cancer, and I continue to ask God to leave them here on this planet, what is God being more loving, taking them home or leaving them here? Well, God's going to do the best thing for them. And sometimes the best thing for them isn't the best thing for me. And so guess what? To answer their prayer to be healed, which would be to go home with the Lord, means he's got to answer my prayer, no. They've got to pass away. See, this idea of no isn't as cut and dry as we think. And in spite of I hear all these things, and I'm seeing heads nodding, and people like, yeah, this all makes perfectly good sense. Many times the answer no doesn't get any explanation. I mean, we ask for something, and we think we asked the correct way, and you know what, we've done all of our due diligence, and maybe we even read some Bible verses and quoted them to God as to why this would be a good thing, and there's going to be nothing positive that happens, and God still says no. And I just want God to explain to me, why no, God? So this morning, before we talk about how to deal with the answer of no, I'm going to give you some reasons why God might say no. And then we're going to talk about what to do when God does say no. Because as you build a prayer life, let me give you a guarantee. Eventually, you're going to get a no. It's just going to happen. So before I go deep into this, though, I want to give you some caution. There may be thousands of good reasons why God says no. And before I share three possible reasons, I want to give you this caution. Never use this with someone that I can't say this right. Never use them when someone is in pain because you don't know why God said no to them. I typed that wrong. Never use what I'm about to share you as a means to come along with somebody and say, well, I know why God said that. You don't know why God said no. So I'm not giving you something to go and be counselors. I'm giving you something to think about for yourself. Never presume to know why God did something unless he tells you. So if somebody is struggling, do not go to them and say, you know what, our preacher preached this really cool sermon a few years ago, and he told me why God said no, so let me share this with you to make you feel better, because it's not going to make them feel better. Now, if God opened up the heavens and parted the skies and said, this is why I did this, go and tell them, then by all means, go and share why God said no. But if God doesn't tell you why he said no, then don't you ever go and try to explain to somebody else why God said no, because it's never going to help them. You see, these are three of the many reasons God said no, but these are the reasons, these are the big ones that we can see a lot of sense in if we start looking at this. You see, the idea is that sometimes God says no because he has a bigger perspective. See, sometimes God says no because what he says means more than what I think. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 8 says, I'm jumping ahead, sorry. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 8, I turned the page. I'm having one of those mornings. I've had too much allergy medicine, I think. Okay. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes of him who must give account. You understand that God sees your picture better than I do. God sees your picture better than you do. God's perspective has no limits. He can see past, present, and future all at the same time. Me, I am lucky if I can see what's on my page in front of me this morning. We're having one of those mornings. So sometimes when God says no, it's because he's got a better view of the sky than you did. He's got a better view of the situation. See, my perspective is extremely limited. Let me ask you something. For those of you who are parents, have you ever asked your kids for something, that your kids have asked you for something, that you're looking at and you say, what would you do with that? I can remember when I was a child, I asked my parents for a Corvette. They were cool cars. And there was a television show on that the person drove the car, and these were cool people, and they wore sunglasses, and I can remember. And you know what the cool thing is? I got it. And my stocking was a little bitty matchbox car, and my dad told me to plant it and wait a few years, and maybe it'll grow. Sometimes we're looking at this and our perspective is very small because, you know, I'm thinking how the benefit would be if I had this cool car to go to school in. What's the problem? I can't drive it. By the time I was old enough to drive it, the tires would be dry rotted and the engine would be no good, and it would be nothing for us to drive because my perspective was all about what? How cool it would be. My parents had to think about wires and tires and antifreeze and gas and insurance and the fact that I can't drive a car, so what do I need with it? You see, their perspective got a little bigger than mine, and so they told me no. They told me it's not going to happen. You see, sometimes God's perspective just flat out protects us. For the guards, the course of justice... I cannot read anything this morning. For the guards, the course of the just, and protects the way of his faithful ones. So he is this guard. He is the person that is there protecting us. And sometimes his perspective just means that he has to tell me no, because you know what? What I've asked for is dangerous. I mean, haven't you ever asked for something and then this was a bad idea? I mean, I asked God for the big house, but you know what comes with the big house, right? The big house payment. Unless God also drops $1 million on you. I asked God for the fancy car, but that means that limits my ability on what I can do. I asked God for the better job, but the better job means that I've got to spend more hours at work, which means I have less time for my family and less time for my faith. And so you understand, God's perspective is that I'm going to tell you no. Not because I don't love you. I'm going to tell you no because I'm going to protect you from your own request. Because I can see down the road what this is going to do to you. And this is important for us to remember. Now, sometimes God's perspective, it pushes us a little bit. Sometimes God tells us no because he wants us to learn a little more lessons. Think about Daniel. What was Daniel's big prayer of his life? Keep me from being fed to the lions. What did God say? No, but I am going to shut the lion's mouth and make you live amongst the lions. Think about the three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What was their prayer? Don't let them toss me into the fiery furnace. God said, no, I'm going to let them toss you in the fiery furnace, and then I'm going to come with you, and I'm going to protect you. Think about Paul. Paul wanted so desperately to go and evangelize Rome. He had planned his little missionary journey. He arrived in Rome in chains. He arrived in Rome as a prisoner, and he never got to do what he wanted to do in Rome. But because of him arriving in chains, you and I are blessed with 13 books of the Bible. You see, God's perspective means that God sometimes has to say no because he's got the better picture. And well, sometimes God says no because he has a better plan. Sometimes God wants to fulfill what you're asking for, but he's just got to let it happen in a different way. In his infinite wisdom, he has a better idea, according to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts for you, my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God has more than one way of doing things. Unlike you, his options are limited. He has many alternatives. Let me give you an example. Struggling with financial debt and you go to God and say, help me. He has many ways to increase your income. He doesn't necessarily have to give you some exorbitant job or some ability. He has many ways that he can solve that. He has many ways that he can reduce your debt. Some of it by asking you to take some financial responsibility. He's got many ways he can go about it. It doesn't mean that he's got to give you 10 numbers in a row so that you can put them on a card and go down to the convenience store and turn them in, and they can call off the 10 numbers and somebody brings you $25 million to your house. I mean, that would be my way of doing it, but God might have a better plan, because odds are if they brought me all of the money, I'd figure out a way to blow that too. You see, God doesn't always give us the way that we want it done. Now, God says no when he has a greater purpose. Now, this is an important one. See, because the idea that God has a purpose for my life sometimes goes beyond me. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, this is what it says. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us the eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is seen, not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. See, this is a pretty big deal for us to remember. That God is God and he has a purpose. So, did you know God had a purpose for your life? God has a plan for your life from the moment you get here. And he has a purpose for your life. And if you yield your life toward him, he's never going to give you anything that will disturb that purpose. You see, fact one is there are just some things we won't understand until we get to heaven. Think about that for a second. There are just some things in my life that even if God explained to me why somebody had to pass away when I loved them so much, and even if God sat down and very, very slowly looked me in the eye, explained all of it, you know what I'm still going to say? Yeah, but why couldn't I have what I wanted? See, there are just some things that aren't going to make sense until I get to heaven. There are some things that will never change until heaven. There are some things that I can pray for them. You know what? I can pray for this world until I'm blue in the face. I can pray, God, make it a better place. God, make it a safer place. God, save everybody in the world. And guess what? Is everybody going to accept Christ? No. Again, to make that happen, he'd have to go back and violate their free will and force them to accept Christ. He can't answer that prayer. At least not yes. I can pray for everything to go perfectly, but it's still not going to happen. You know why? Because we still have sin in the area. We still have sin in the world. So it's not going to change until I get to heaven. In fact, three, sometimes your suffering is for the benefit of others. Now, I know I just got your attention with that one. Sometimes what you're going through, sometimes what you're asking God to stop, sometimes what you're praying for to not happen, God is allowing you to go through it so that you can then turn back around and share your experience with someone else. You know why my wife and I, when we see people that have kids who are suffering with illness, our hearts can go out for that. You know why? We had one. We can understand young couples that are struggling in marriage. You know why? Been there, done that. You see, God allows me to suffer so that he can help me to gain wisdom so that I can go back and share it with others as they're going through it. You see, we forget this sometimes. Why did Jesus have to suffer on the cross? Why couldn't God just say yes to Jesus? What if he had? What if in the Garden of Gethsemane that night when he knelt, he said, you know what? I don't want to do this. Let's find another way. And God has said, okay. What would have changed in human history? No cross. I'm guaranteeing you, you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. You'd be sitting somewhere, but you would not be here. We would not be gathering around this table. There would be no cross lit up on this thing. Everything would have changed because God had to take the idea that, you know what? I've got to let my son suffer because of the benefit to all the others. And you know, the funny thing is he tells that to each and every one of us. If you're going to be a Christ follower, then sometimes you're going to have to go through some difficult times simply for the benefit of others. Now, I don't like that, and you don't have to like that. But you have to understand that's how this prayer thing works. Sometimes God has to tell you no, because you know what? Not for your good. Somebody else is good. Somebody else is going to need your brokenness a little bit later to help put their life back together. God says, so I've got to let you get broken. And that's hard for us. But that's how prayer works. That's why it's talking to God, not making requests. That's why it's talking to God and not making wishes. This idea of prayer is talking to God so that as you go through all of those things, you now know, what should I do when God says no? I mean, it's going to happen. Eventually, God's going to tell you no. That person that you love is going to pass on. That situation that you thought God would fix and make rosy is going to not go the way you want. You're not going to get the promotion you want. Your Corvette's not going to grow even though you planted it and watered it. It's just going to end up no. And you know what? A lot of times, this is when people leave the church. This is when people leave God. Man, they prayed their hearts out and they poured their life out and they asked God to fix it, and all God could say is no. How on earth did he then say he loves me when he said no? Well, here's where the other part comes in. This is what connects to the song that Patty was singing. Because sometimes I can't find his hand, so I just have to trust his heart. And as I begin to look at God's heart, the first thing that I learn is I need to trust that God does everything in love. Psalm chapter 25, verse 10 says, "All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep his demands of his covenant." God never does anything out of spite. I can't say that about myself. I can be a spiteful person. But God never does anything just to teach you a lesson. God does not withhold his blessing just because you weren't good enough in the way you made the request. God does not withhold his blessing to teach you some kind of twisted lesson about how much better he is than you. See, that's not God. That's not God's heart. Because if God was going to do that, then why would he not just withhold Jesus, right? Why would he bother to go through all of that suffering? He could just withheld that one thing, and you know what? All of this would have been over. We need to understand the idea that when I pray, I have three options as far as God's love. I can resist it and fight it off. I can resent it and become bitter and miserable. Or I can relax, knowing that God has his best interest at heart, my best interest at heart. And he loves me very, very, very much. Second thing is when I'm praying and I hear God say no, then I just got to learn to pray what Jesus prayed facing the cross. Mark chapter 14, verses 35 through 36. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass for him. That's what he's asking for. But then he said, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Sometimes I just have to remember that God is saying no, and I just have to look at God and say, "Okay, God, I don't like the answer, and I would love for you to reconsider the answer, and I'm not expecting you to explain to me why the answer is no, but I am willing to say, you've got the better picture, you've got the better perspective, you've got the better understanding, and so you know what, this is just one of those moments, I'm going to have to let you use the word that my kids hate, and that is bis. You know what BIS stands for? Because I said so. And I just have to move on. Sometimes that's all I can do, is I can just look at God and say, you know what? This is one of those moments. I'm just going to have to accept. You know what you're doing. And I'm going to have to move on. We can expect God to give his grace to handle his answer. Now, this is the big one. Because you know what? Even Paul asked and got a no. Matter of fact, it said Paul asked three times, "Hey God, will you please remove this infirmary so I can serve you better?" And you know what God told him? This was the answer as Paul put it out there. "No. My grace is sufficient for you to endure the pain and continue to serve." Oh. So you're not trying to teach me that I can get everything I want. You're trying to teach me is that you will come alongside me and walk through the lion's den and the fire and all the other things along with me so that I can learn to trust you just a little bit more. See, sometimes that no means that I just have to dig a little deeper into God's grace and hang on to God just a little bit tighter. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10 says, Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. You get it? God's going to sometimes tell you no because he wants you to not just look for the blessing. It's part of our lesson last week. He's asking you to get to know the person. See, if you don't trust God when he says no, it means you really don't know him. You know, I've had to tell my kids no a lot over their life already. And you know what? I'm only halfway there probably. I probably got a lot more no's left in me. I probably have more no's than yeses. It's just part of growing up. But I think over the years, my kids are starting to learn that, you know what? He's telling me no, and I don't understand now, but I'll get it. Not that they always agree with the no. Sometimes no causes some knockdown, drag-out fights at our house. But you know what? No sometimes happens. And no means that we have to learn that, you know what? I know the person that's saying no, and they have my interest at heart. I'd like to close this morning by, I haven't been reading well this morning, but we're going to try this anyway. I'd like to close this morning by reading a poem that the author of the 40 Days of Purpose put in the little book that said, "Pastors, please read at the close of the last sermon." So I figured this needs to go right there. You are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You're precious and perfect, unique design, called God's special woman or man. You look like you for a reason. Our God made no mistake. He knit you together within the womb. You're just what he wanted to make. The parents you had were the ones he chose. And no matter how they made you feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind. And they bear the master seal. Know the trauma you faced was not easy, and God wept that it hurt you so, but it was allowed to shape your heart, so that into His likeness you grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God.